First Samuel 17. First Samuel 17. Miss Casey, is that? Did I see you sitting back there? God bless you. How's Don doing? So. All right. God bless. Don Casey's been ill, and of course Don was responsible humanly. The Lord used Don to win Brother Larry to the Lord. Boy, Larry is just a real blessing. So good to see Miss Casey back there tonight. Appreciate them. Attend another good church a few miles away, live in the area, but they come here when they can't get up north, so that's a blessing. Good to see her. All right, let's stand together, please, in 1 Samuel 17. We're reading verses 31 and 32. If you'd please join me on verse 32. This will be the text verse. We'll use the passage, and of course, we're in a very familiar passage here tonight. And our Bible says, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, Lord, I pray that you please help us tonight. Thank you for the message you put on my heart. And I just want to share it with the folks. And, Lord, I trust it will be a blessing. I pray that you give me the strength. Thank you for helping me this morning and help me tonight. Thank you for the energy and strength to get out and about, Lord, for good health. We take that for granted, I know. So I rejoice. I pray for Brother Don Casey, and you'll touch him. I thank you, Lord, that Brother Tom Griffey is here tonight. And spend a couple of days in the hospital. I pray that you'll bless Brother Tom and, God, just all the others that have need of your healing hand. I pray that you'll bless them. And then, God, be with the time together as we get in the Bible. Bless the song now, the message to follow. Oh, God, I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Attention to that verse 32. We read that a moment ago. David here is talking to King Saul. And he says, Saul, he says, let no man's heart fail because of him. The him he's talking about is Goliath. So he's saying, Saul, he said, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of Goliath. I want to talk to you on this subject, avoiding heart failure against Goliath, okay? Avoiding heart failure against Goliath. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for being our pilot over life's tempestuous sea. Lord, you love us and you shed abroad through your Holy Spirit that love into our hearts as we learned this morning. And God, at no greater time, it seems, do we sense that love than sailing over a tempestuous sea, a rough time. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can avoid heart failure when facing the giants in life. I pray the message tonight will be a blessing, encouragement, and help to your people. That's my prayer, my hope. Please, would you allow it to come to pass? Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are reading from one of the great stories ever recorded in human history. Not just the Bible, but human history. David and Goliath. How this story has challenged, how this story has encouraged countless people, their hearts and spirits. And it never gets old. It never ceases to teach. It never ceases to instruct. You can read David and Goliath. You can read 1 Samuel 17. Man, you learn this. You can read it 6 months later and you learn this. You can read it again and you learn this. Not every time when I read this chapter has something jumped off the pages at me. But the other day as I was reading in the recliner, just reading my Bible, again, something from this passage, just going through 1 Samuel, jumped off the pages at me. And I've preached several messages from this passage. You've heard a lot of messages on the subject of David and Goliath. And yet today, a little different lesson for us to learn about heart failure. Heart failure. Now, we're not talking about physical heart failure. We're not talking about your heart stopping on you or your heart quitting. Not talking about that at all. We're talking about the failure, the absence of courage, the absence of confidence, the absence of bravery, the absence of a good attitude and a good spirit when you face a Goliath. We're talking about that tonight. That kind of heart failure, the kind you and I don't need to experience when we face the giant. I didn't say if, I said when we face the giant. Okay? You're either going to face him with heart failure like some of these men did, or you're going to be like David. One of the two. Now, you know the story. Philistines and Israel are set in battle. Both armies are pitched on different mountains. They're separated by the valley of Elah. And every day, for 40 days, the Philistines sent out their champion, Goliath, over 9 feet tall. Now you think about that. Over 9 feet tall, and a sword, spear, and armor bearer, and all that imposing man, if you would, this gigantic fella. And so he come out, and every day he cried out, and every day he taunted the army of Israel, and he defied them 40 days. You reckon you might get a little bit tired of that? 40 days. He just railed and defied the God of Israel and the armies of Israel. And I want you to notice the response of the army of Israel and their king Saul. Look at verse 10. It's in the chapter, same chapter. Look at verse number 10. This is the first time the Philistine speaks. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Watch this. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. In heart failure. Heart failure. Now, David comes to check on his brothers. He comes to the camp. And while he's there, he comes to see how his brothers are doing. While he's there, it was one of those 40 days that Goliath, the 40th day, I guess. And so Goliath comes out for the 40th time and he bellows out. Look at verse 23 and 24. Again, you see the reaction of David, of the army and the king. The Bible says in verse 23, and as he talked with them, that's David, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words again. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, were sore afraid. Had heart failure. But this is David's first time to hear this giant. Look what David said in verse number 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Can you sense there, folks, a completely different attitude and spirit on David's part than the other folks? Completely different. Totally different response. Totally different attitude. Totally different spirit. Totally different. Just I mean 180 degrees opposite. And later on in our story, David stands before Saul and he says, Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Heart failure. Heart failure. Now, folks, look, the men of Israel and their king experienced heart failure because of Goliath. David avoided heart failure in spite of Goliath. I don't know about you, but that's what I kind of like to have, all right? And by the way, folks, we're not talking about two different giants here. The one that the armies of Israel faced, more intimidating, more imposing than the one David faced. No, there's one giant here. So you got the same giant, the same same gigantic man, the same defiance, the same words, the same intimidation, and one group has heart failure, and one young man, he doesn't. He stands up to it. Now listen, when it comes to facing our Goliath, and we will. Okay? I'm talking to a lot of folks tonight who've already faced a Goliath. I don't look at this little thing with this appendix as a Goliath. I look at this as an appendix went bad. And I've asked some of you folks, you know, I see, oh yeah, man, I had mine out when I was 8, had mine out when I was 4, had mine out. I don't know if I'm having my second childhood again. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know why it was at 53. Yeah, I think Tim Gardner had his out earlier this year, and he's 62 or 63, somewhere in there, you know. Luke McDonald had his out. And Luke, you were, 13 when your appendix came out, I guess, right? And so I guess it happens. I don't look at this appendix thing as a Goliath. I'm talking to some folks who faced a Goliath. And I'm not necessarily talking about physical illness. I'm talking about huge situations. And I'm not necessarily talking about a person. It may be a person. It may not be a person. But a problem, a circumstance, a situation, a tragedy of seemingly gigantic proportions. Overwhelming business. A Goliath. And when we face that, we need to avoid heart failure. Because what got David over the hump here and made him different from all these other soldiers of Israel was the fact that his heart didn't fail. His spirit was strong. His heart was brave. And when it comes to facing Goliath, listen very carefully, it won't be near as important to have money and brains and physical strength as it will be to have a strong heart. Have a heart. Many times a strong heart can make up for what we might lack in those other areas. And I've seen that. I've seen people on very limited income and maybe just of modest means, maybe people of limited physical strength who have faced giants, faced Goliaths without heart failure. And then I've also witnessed the opposite. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity." Our attitude, our spirit, our heart will help us face and defeat our Goliaths without having heart failure. So let me tell you what's important tonight when it comes to avoiding heart failure. What is important? First of all, you can write it down if you want to. Acknowledge the will of God. When you face a Goliath, when you face an overwhelming problem, when you face a tragedy or a circumstance of seemingly gigantic proportions, if you want to avoid heart failure, acknowledge the will of God. Look at verse number 28 in our text. The Bible says that when David showed up, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." You know, Eliab, he didn't know anything. He's blabbing away like he's a fool. By the way, you see a little bit here of what God knew and saw about Eliab. Remember when he came before Samuel? And Samuel said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." And God said, "Don't you put a drop of oil on that boy's head." He said, "I can see things, I know things you don't see." You see a little bit of that right there. Isn't that ugly? He belittled David. "Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep?" And your little boy, you got your little job of watching your little flock of sheep.
Who's your little flock of sheep with? Wasn't that ugly? Just ugly. And Eliab, he's just jabbing at David. And look what David said in verse number 29. He answered Eliab by saying, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" You know what David said, if I can paraphrase that verse for us tonight? He said, you know, he said, "Eliab, you know what?" He said, I have done nothing wrong in being here. He said, "The truth of the matter is, I am here for a cause." Now, what was the cause of David's being there? Look at verse number 17, and you'll see the cause of David's being there. "And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." You know, why David's there? David is there because his daddy sent him there. So David is there in obedience to his father. He was doing his father's bidding. He was there because, if you let me say it this way, he was in his father's will. David was not facing Goliath out of punishment. Goliath wasn't brought into his life because David had done something wrong. Goliath was brought into David's life as he was in his father's will. Now listen, the safest and the most secure and the most protected place to be for a child of God is in the Heavenly Father's will. Even when there is a Goliath in the path. And you need to acknowledge the will of God. This will happen. There will be a Goliath in God's will for me. There will be a Goliath in God's will for you. But that's the secret, folks, to avoiding heart failure. Facing the giant, facing Goliath in the will of God, not out of it. There's a big difference in facing the giants of life in the will of God and facing the giants in life out of the will of God. And here's what we have to understand about God's will. Whatever Goliath God brings into our lives, God's going to help us in that battle. And what God brings into our life is for our good. Now, wait a minute. It may not taste good. It may not feel good at the moment, but it will all work together for good because that's what God said in His Word about His will. In Romans chapter 12, He said, if you'll present your bodies and be a living sacrifice, and if you won't be conformed to this world, be transformed to the principles of the Word of God through the reading of the Scripture, the renewing of your mind, you will prove, listen now, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And folks, sometimes the good and acceptable and perfect will of God includes a giant. Includes a giant. David is in his father's will. Acknowledge the will of God. Check yourself out. Are you in the will of God? Are you in good fellowship with the Lord? Are you in obedience to the Lord? Look, I know I've mentioned it before, but it blesses my heart, you know. We sing Ron Hamilton songs here in our choir occasionally. There are some Ron Hamilton songs in our songbook. Many of you have the Patch the Pirate tapes that your children listen to, tapes that you have the Patch the Pirate CDs that you listen to and are a blessing. And when our children were younger, we had all of them. I remember all the way back to Space, Patch the Pirate Goes to Space, way and Ghost of the Jungle. I mean, some of those early ones, you know. And they weren't quite as fancy as they became later on when they got all the other stuff that, you know, that technology affords today. But his story amazes me. Is there anybody in this room who's 27 years of age? Any young man in this room 27 years of age tonight? Any 27-year-old? Brother Gale is 27 years of age. Now, there's a man, a happily married man, little girl, and a child on the way, and a ministry. Here's Ron Hamilton, same age as Brent Gillis. That's the prime of life right there, folks. Those with you with me, we're over the hill, friend. Amen. All right. That's the prime of life right there. Everybody's been so kind, you know, and considerate. I've had one guy about 20 years my younger, 25 years my younger, maybe 30 years my younger. Man, when I had my surgery, I know. Okay, all right. So. But anyway. Here he is, 27 years of age, and he's got trouble with his sight, and he's got trouble seeing, and he can't see. Ron Hamilton. And so he goes to the doctor, and they can't figure out what it is, so now they're going to have surgery. And they take him back to surgery. He has no idea what's going to happen. So when he comes up out of surgery, his wife is there to tell him as he's coming out of surgery, Ron, when they got into your eye, they found cancer in your left eye. And they had to take your eye. How'd you like to come out of surgery? Find out you lost your eye. When you come out of that surgery, come out of that anesthesia, come out of that, boy, you know, you open your eyes in that recovery room, you know, and the first time you open your eyes, if you're like me or not, the first time you open your eyes and you just kind of look around and say, where am I? You know, and you kind of go back to sleep. And then the second time, the first thing that was out of my mouth was, did he get it laparoscopically? And she said, yes. And I said, praise God, amen. So, but, you know, how'd you like to come out of that anesthesia and say, yeah, and your spouse tell you your left eye is gone? 27 years of age. And they put a patch over that thing to keep it from getting infected. And he'd go to church, in a good-sized church, walk down the hallways of the church, and little kids would say, look, Mommy, a pirate. And that's what he became. He became Patch the Pirate. You see, God didn't take Ron Hamilton's left eye with cancer because Ron Hamilton was in sin. That Goliath in his life wasn't put there in his path because he was out of the will of God. That giant was in the path of the will of God for Ron Hamilton. And can we all say that he avoided heart failure, has become Ron Hamilton, better known to all of us as Patch the Pirate, has blessed how many homes? Countless homes and people's hearts around the world because he doesn't have a left eye and is now Patch the Pirate, who used to be just Ron Hamilton, is now God multiplied his ministry manifold. See, folks, look, you got to acknowledge the will of God. Look, love God, honor God, obey God, serve God, stay in His will. And if you know you are in God's will, when you face a Goliath, it will help you avoid heart failure. Okay, I may not enjoy this. I don't like this. This is not fun. It tastes bad. It feels bad, but it's the will of God. It's the will of God. I'm in God's will, and that's the safest, best, most secure place for me to be. Amen. Isn't that good? Is that what he did? He was in his Father's will. So you acknowledge the will of God. Think about it, folks. When you face Goliath, the first thing you do, you acknowledge the will of God. Number two, the second thing of avoiding heart failure is you accumulate some experience. Now, this actually took place before David faced the giant, but look at verse number 33. Pardon me. Verse number 33, accumulate some experience. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You know why David's heart did not fail? Because he had accumulated some previous experience in difficult situations. Now, folks, look, I never have been around a free-range lion. The only lions I've ever seen are at the zoo. Most of them were sound asleep with their, you know, and you go there hoping to see the lions, and they're all sacked out, you know. One time we were in a lion house, one of the zoos, probably up here at Brookfield, and they were really active. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was feeding time or something. And, man, you know, and they pounced at the bars, you know, and one little girl, not in our family, but one little girl, you know, scared. I've never been on a free range. When Ben and Ashley left Madagascar for that month to stay with Jeff Demarest in Durban, South Africa, they took them to one of those safari, one of those game places, wild game places in South Africa. There's thousands of acres there, and those animals roam pretty free. In fact, they'd come up on some bull elephants, and they had to get out in a hurry. Bull elephants started to stampede. Ben said they saw some free-range lions. But I do know a little bit about the anxiety in your heart when a bear is close by. I never had any anxiety when a deer, a white-tailed deer came. I mean, anxiety as far as, man, they're pretty and they're great and you hope I can kill them, you know. But it's a different anxiety when the bear comes in, because you make one wrong move, the deer run away. You make one wrong move with the bear, he comes at the stand. I look back in retrospect. Boy, you do some dumb things in life, don't you? I look back at that. I mean, I went to the woods with my bow. I had that bow and arrow with that, you know, 400 grain arrow. And I don't know how much kinetic energy is in that thing, that 65-pound pull bow. And three razor-sharp broadheads, 100-grain broadhead on the end of that thing. And I mean, that'll do some damage. And I had a machete with a razor sharp blade on it, and I had a 12-gauge shot. I was like Rambo in the woods. If I'd just had a bandolier on my chest, you know, with a bunch of bullets, and nothing in my hand when that bear came to that stand. The bow's hanging in the tree, the machete's on the deck, the shotgun's in the corner. I'm sitting there empty-handed when the bear comes in my stand, to my stand. He come in it. You might have a different pastor here this night. And I've kind of lost more than an appendix, I'll tell you that much. But anyway, he came to the bottom of that stand, and I'm telling you, he said, I can still see his beady eyes in my mind's eye. I can still hear him breathing right there. And I'm frozen. All these weapons, and I'm frozen. And that boom, 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 and my heart pounding so hard that the wood picked it up. You could hear that. I know the anxiety of a bear coming in. David faced a lion and he faced a bear. And the victories that he won over those animals prepared him for his Goliath. And as bad as the lion was, as bad as the bear was, I have to believe that Goliath was larger. And you know what? Goliaths are huge. But God prepares us for our Goliaths by allowing us to face smaller, less difficult situations that will hopefully help us to accumulate some experience to lean on when the big ones come in. And that's what David did. Now, you know those times of stress and pressure? You know those times when we face, when what we face is not enjoyable or convenient, and we get through those times and we see God's hand and we learn from God's teaching, those are invaluable when it comes to facing a Goliath. They're invaluable. Do we understand, folks, that the stress and the pressure that we're all trying to avoid and we're all trying to run from, you know, some of that could be God's way of preparing us for an even bigger Goliath? I see Brianna here tonight, Brianna, and I see Ben and Matt. I don't know if there's any other college students here. Not just Bible college students, but, you know, college life in general. You know, Brother Mike called today with a question, you know, because Tony's schedule out there is just, I mean, it's just, he said, preacher, he said he goes to class, he goes to work, he sleeps a few hours, he gets up, does it all over again. He said, is that, that's it. Boy, the prey. But you know, we try to run from those stressful situations. We try to avoid all stress and avoid all. We don't want any stress. We don't want any pressure. If I got some stress and pressure, I want to run to the closest convenience store or electrical store and buy something else to create, to help alleviate some. Look, folks, do we understand that some of the stress and some of the pressure could be God's way of getting us ready for something real big? Real big. You know, and by way of coming aside here just for a minute, let me say to all the parents in the room tonight, man, be careful about bailing your kids out of every stressful situation. No parent likes to see their kid in a stressful or adverse circumstance. But you know, that's life. And sometimes they're going to, as kids, you know, sometimes a reaction to a behavior problem or a response by a teacher or a response by a person in some type of youth work, maybe it's a little excessive. So none of you adults ever have never faced that excessive response or reaction from your peers at work or your bosses? I know you guys never do. That's part of life. And I'm not saying allow your kids to be taken advantage of and run over and treated poorly, but man, be careful that before you go into a tizzy to bail them out of every adverse circumstance. Let them sweat a little bit. Let them go through it. Let the pressure come. Good night. They may face God. God may know. God knows what's in their path for sure, not me. And He may know at age 18 or 19, 20, 21, there's going to be a huge giant. And He's allowing a few adverse circumstances when they're 12 and 10 and 14 to prepare them for what they're going to face at 21. But you know what? Mom and Dad are busy bailing them out of it. Now, you look, our kids come through the school here. We still got one in school here. Once in a while, I thought whatever the response to the whatever it was might have been a little excessive. Once in a while. But you know, I don't know if I ever bailed them. Maybe once in a while, Brother Don, you might remember Brother Mike. I don't know. I can remember a couple times making a phone call and saying, man, why is it like this? You know, but you know, sometimes I just shut my mouth and let them stew. Let them figure it out. Let them get it done. Let them face it. Hey, believe me, their homework in 10th grade, not near the size giant they're going to face down the road. Amen? You all understand that? So be careful. Accumulate some experience. You know, the great objective of Americans today is the attempt to achieve this stress-free, pressure-free, problem-free life. I hate to break your heart. There is no such life. And listen to me very carefully. Our problem is not our problems. Our problem is not our problems, folks. Our problem is heart failure when we face our problem. Our problem is not learning from the previous problems. Our problem is not facing them and overcoming them and learning from them and storing up the experience for what you might need for a future Goliath. You know, Brother Jeff here, he likes to run. You run a couple 5K, 10K races. Brother Jeff runs in them things. I can't think of anything more boring than getting to run for 10. But Brother Tom McMurtry, he's a pastor over here. Y'all know Brother McMurtry. He runs in those things. So Brother Jeff, the way you train for a 10K marathon, you did pretty good in one of those, if I remember right, or the 5K. 5K, you did pretty good, didn't you? The way you train for one of those 5K races is you train for it by laying on the couch. You avoid getting winded at all costs. You avoid having your legs burn. You avoid sweating up, and then you'll be ready for the 5K marathon. Yeah. If that was the case, folks, all of us could run it. That's not how you train for a marathon. You run, and you get winded, and your legs burn. And you sweat up, and you do that over and over and over and over again, and you punish your body, and every time you do, you deal with the pressure, and you deal with the stress, and you deal with the mileage, and you deal with it better and better and better until you're ready to run the race. That's what our problems are. Don't run from your stress. Don't run from your problems. Don't volunteer for it. But don't run from it. You can't run from it. And it may be the very thing you need. God may have brought that into your path because He knows that just over a few more hills and valleys, there is a huge Goliath, and you're going to need every bit of experience that you accumulated from those previous stress times. Y'all with me tonight? So accumulate some experience. And alive. I'll promise you tonight there's people that could jump up right now and testify and say some of the greatest times, some of the most learning, the times when I learned the most about things was when I faced a problem. I learned more from facing that problem. I learned more from coming through that difficulty than all the stress-free times put together. That's right. That's right. No doubt about it. So acknowledge the will of God. Accumulate some experience. Now, number three. Here, I'm about done. Number three. Always stay with the familiar. I can't stress this enough. Always stay with the familiar. When you want to avoid heart failure, facing your Goliath. Look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. So Saul says, okay, Dave, here you go, buddy. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. He said, I can't do this. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. I love verse 40. And he took his staff in his hand, an old shepherd's staff, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Don't you love the language of Scripture? He didn't just grab five rocks. He grabbed five smooth stones. Those smooth stones can fly a long ways. Do you ever skip a rock across a pond? Or across a river? See how many jumps you could get out of that thing. Man, me and I can remember being at Haman's Lake, Hogan's Lake with the friends, and they would fire. I always look for those smooth rocks. They fly good. Got him five smooth rocks. Stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Saul tried to give David his armor, fancy armor, but David didn't fit into it, and it didn't fit him, and he felt uneasy, and he felt uncomfortable, and he felt unsure. And so finally he just said, you know what, Saul, I'm sorry, I appreciate it, but I can't do this. I'm not going to go with these. Give me my staff. Give me my sling. Let me get these five smooth rocks. Now look, when it's time to face a Goliath, you always want to stay with the familiar. I'll tell you. I wish there was some magic, but there's no magic. You've got to stay with the familiar. You can't get out of this. You can't get out of this book. You've got to get into this book. You've got to pray. I got this humongous Goliath, this huge problem. I need some secret to overcoming it. Read my Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Go to church. Go to church. Look, sometimes when you're facing a Goliath, the last thing you want to do is be around people. Go to church and see folks. That's the last thing you want. But friend, that's when you need it the most. Drag your carcass in here. Your flesh screaming at you the whole way. Don't go. Don't go. You don't want to go. And you're going to be asked questions. And somebody's going to say how it's going. And you're going to start crying. Don't go. Don't go. Drag your carcass against all of your flesh. Plop down in the pew with your Bible. Open that hymn book and sing to the glory of God. You stay with the familiar. Look. I don't always know the Goliaths that people are facing. I'm aware of some. And that we have some people facing Goliaths. We have a family facing a Goliath. It's a legitimate Goliath. It's a huge thing for them. It's a huge thing. And so I went to see them at 2 o'clock in the afternoon one day. And they knew I was coming. And I got there and all the blinds are pulled. All the curtains are drawn. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My heart just sank. I said, here's a family that's in. Hadn't been to church. Facing a Goliath. I said, this ain't helping. So we sat at the table. I said, okay, get the blinds up. Open the window. Let's go. Get the blinds up. Open the curtain. Boy, he jumped up. He turned around. Get some light in this place. I took out my 3x5 card and I said, okay, here it is now. You're gonna sit down and in the morning you're gonna read this passage and this passage and this passage and this passage and this passage, and then you're gonna pray for 3 minutes. I want you to pray for 3 solid minutes and tell the Lord all that's on your heart and tell him about this and how you feel and what's going on. And then you got some work to do, you got something to do, okay, you'll do this, 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 and this. And I said, then here, 20 minutes from this time to this time, 20 minutes, you can worry. Worry and fret and worry and cry. cry. And when that 20 minutes is up, you get your Bible out and here's some passages to read. And you take 3 minutes to pray. And then you got some other stuff to do. And then 4 or 5 hours later, I said, now it's 20 minutes of worry time again. And in the morning when you get up, the first thing you do, you go to every window in this house and you get the blinds open, you get the window, you get the curtains open, you get some good music playing. And it's, look, folks, and they're doing better. They're not over the hump, but they're already doing better. There are no secrets. There's no magic. When you face a Goliath, you've got to stick with the familiar. You've got to stick with what works. Okay? And I know, why do you think the flesh doesn't want to do that? Why do you think there's so much satanic opposition to just simply reading your Bible? Because there's power in that book. My gracious. Listen, always stick with the familiar. Stick with the familiar. How many times? How many times? Facing legitimate Goliaths, and people come in and say, are you reading your Bible? This is one of the five smooth rocks, folks. And my prayers don't mean anything. You don't know what your prayers are doing. First of all, when you pray, you're not the only one praying. Spirit of God's praying for you and with you, and Jesus is praying for you. 3 minutes of prayer time? Church, even when you don't feel like it, stick with the familiar. Now listen very carefully. Acknowledge the will of God. Accumulate some experience and always stick with the familiar. You avoid heart failure. Now listen very carefully. Make this final point. We're done. You know that sometimes heart failure comes after the moment of battle or anxiety has passed. There's a football game this year. Michigan State played against, I think they played against Notre Dame, Brother Tim. And I don't know all the details, but I think this is what happened. I think that they went into overtime. They went into overtime. And Notre Dame scored first by a field goal or something. And Michigan State had the ball that was fourth down. So they either had to kick a field goal and force another overtime or try to go for the touchdown. And so they lined up for a field goal. And that was a fake field goal. And they completed the pass. And the guy ran into the end zone. And they beat Notre Dame. Now, I'm not sure that Michigan State was, maybe it was even the underdog in that game. I'm not sure. Did you know that after the ball game was over, their coach had a heart attack? After the game was over. Went through all the stress and the anxiety and the preparation and the nerves of the football game and making the calls and the guts to, if they don't complete that pass, they lose the game. And the guts to make that call. So he faces all the anxiety and all the anxiousness of the ball game. And after it's over, he has a heart attack. Ends up in the hospital. I think they put a stent in or something. I don't know all the details. Now, do you understand that sometimes people will do everything right in facing a Goliath and come out victorious, but then afterwards, something happens to the heart. Could be pride. I'll tell you which one I think is better. It gets more people than pride. It could be bitterness. You face the Goliath. It's behind you. You got it on the other. You're on the backside of the Goliath now, and you start reflecting on the whole thing. Maybe you came through it, but not without some wounds and some scars. Maybe a friend or a loved one hurt you while you were battling Goliath, and you didn't have time to think about that while you're involved in the fight. But afterwards, it starts to hurt. It could be any number of things, and before you know it, bitterness begins to creep in about the very thing that you defeated. Y'all listening tonight? The very thing you won the battle. Goliath's dead. But on the backside of it, you begin to reflect on all the turmoil and the stress and the problems and the pain and the hurt. And yeah, you're even carrying a few scars from that battle that you won. And you get bitter. Sometimes you get mad at God. Why did that happen? Why did you let that happen to me? You're on the backside of it. Boy, Satan's a dirty fighter, isn't he? So you have to watch your heart after the battle. And be reminded, you know what's the amazing thing about this is? Look at verse number 40. Verse number 57. Now, you know what happens here. David chops that guy's head off, you know? Look at verse 57. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. He's carrying that sucker around. He's walking around with that thing. He got in his hand, you know, and you say, this is probably spiritualizing a little bit, but you know, I'm sure David was just savoring the victory and maybe just reminded of the fact that how good God was to him. And you know what, friend, on the backside of a defeated Goliath, don't get bitter about the battle that you won. Do you know why that's so dangerous? I'm done. Don't turn to it. But in 2 Samuel chapter 21, hear me. David finds out that Goliath had brothers and Goliath had sons. And when you and I get on the victory side of a dead Goliath, we better keep our hearts right. Because the brothers and the sons maybe around the bend. You think that's over, pal? You think that's stress? You think it's all stress-free the rest of the way? Goliaths have brothers and Goliaths have sons. But when you keep your heart right, you'll defeat those as well. Avoiding heart failure against Goliath. Man, listen. I marvel at some of you folks challenge my heart. Some of the things that you faced over these years, humongous Goliaths, and you avoided heart failure. And then we've had some who experienced heart failure. That's not the last Goliath any of us will face. You need to be ready for the next time when a brother or a son shows up. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father in heaven, I love you. I thank you so much for your word. It never grows stale or old. There's always something to learn from it. And there's something to learn from this, for sure. And I pray that you'll please help us, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you'd bless us to avoid heart failure when it comes to facing the giants and the Goliaths in life. Bless our folks. Encourage their hearts tonight. I pray in Jesus' name.